He himself bore our sins in his body upon the cross.
I saw a mysterious personage in front of me.
Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ on behalf of his body, which is the church.
And I saw that my hands and feet had holes in them and were bleeding profusely.
If then we have died with Christ,
from that day on, I have been mortally wounded.
We believe that we shall also live with him. By his wounds you have been healed.
Padre Pio, the priest who bore the wounds of Christ.
Hello, my name is Father Andrew Apostoli. I'm a member of the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal. I'd like to welcome you to our series entitled Padre Pio, the Priest Who Bore the Wounds of Christ. I'd like to greet you with a little greeting of St. Francis. May the Lord give you his peace. Today we're focusing in this episode on the later years of Padre Pio's life. And Padre Pio had gone through a very severe period of trial from the years 1922 to 1933. But his good name was exonerated from many false statements that were made against him, accusations about several things in his life. And after a thorough investigation by the Vatican, he was cleared of all of those accusations and charges. And now began, as he said himself, he's beginning to do his work fully. He's able to enter into his life's work completely now. And although now the cloud over his head personally, in a sense, what he called his internment, his imprisonment, even though that was being lifted, Padre Pio was now being faced by another cloud. And it was a cloud that was covering all of Europe and, in fact, all the world. It was the cloud of leading up to World War II. These were difficult times in Europe. Remember, the world had seen World War I. They called it the war to end all wars. Unfortunately, another even worse war was, you know, in the process of being formed or being readied by the different powers that were coming to be there in Europe, with Adolf Hitler coming to power in Nazi Germany. In Italy, Benito Mussolini gained control of Italy with his fascist party. Joseph Stalin was there in Russia with his Communist Party. But St. Paul reminds us, for those who love God, all things work together for good. And this is true, that God will draw good out of anything, even out of war. What was Padre Pio like in these days? I'd like to read with one author how one author describes Padre Pio. He gives this little brief insight into looking at the person of the Padre. He said, Padre Pio was 47 years old on May 25th, 1934. He seemed to have aged perceptibly during his incarceration. That was that period I mentioned from 1922 to 33, especially 1931 to 33. His beard was grayer, although his thinning hair retained its auburn hue. Moreover, he was growing stouter. The expansion of Pio's waistline was by no means a result of overeating. On the contrary, as he grew older, he tended to eat less. In the mid-1930s, Padre Agostino observed that Padre Pio's intake was, quote, not sufficient for anyone who works as he does, end quote. By 1945, his food intake was measured at only 3.5 ounces a day, and yet he weighed more than 170 pounds. Likewise, he seemed to be able to get along with less and less sleep. During this period of his life, Padre Pio slept perhaps 2 hours during the afternoon siesta and perhaps 2 hours at night, and he never seemed to tire. Despite what in others would have been a serious lack of food and sleep, Padre Agostino found him always quick, jovial and friendly, as if he were eating and resting normally. So Padre Pio was ready to undertake, you know, great work for the love of God. It was at this time that Padre Pio made one of his greatest what we call, or he called, his spiritual children, who was a convert, a woman by the name of Mary Pyle. She was a very wealthy American woman. Her name originally was Adelia McAlpin Pyle. Her family was Presbyterian, at least her mother was a good Presbyterian. She, as a person, was a warm, sensitive individual. She was a New York socialite. And she had become associated with Maria Montessori. Dr. Montessori had come to visit Mary's family. Her mother, Mary's mother, had an interest in working with preschoolers, and so was interested in the work of Dr. Montessori. And when Maria Montessori came, she met Mary Pyle, and she was impressed with Mary's linguistic ability and wanted her as an interpreter. So Mary Pyle became associated with Maria Montessori. At the time, Mary Pyle was also being drawn to the Catholic Church. She found in the church a depth of meaning, and so she entered the Catholic Church in 1921 in Spain. She was conditionally rebaptized and accepted into the Catholic Church, and she chose the name Mary. She traveled around with Maria Montessori, and one day went to visit Padre Pio there in San Giovanni Rotondo, and was very taken with him. And he himself suggested that she come and live there not far from the monastery where he was at there in San Giovanni Rotondo. And that's what she did. She took up residence there. She lived there for over 40 years. And she was a rather well-to-do woman. And her money was used to help build a seminary in Pietrelcina, a seminary that Padre Pio himself had predicted would someday be built in his own native village. Pietrelcina was the town that Padre Pio was born in, the little town that he came from. And so Mary Pyle became one of Padre Pio's spiritual children and remained very faithful in serving and helping him. One of the things that she did was she took care of both his parents when they were elderly and were near to death. Padre Pio's mother, Maria Giuseppe D'Annunzio, died on January 3rd, 1929, there at San Giovanni Rotondo. So she was, Maria Giuseppe was nearby to her son. He could go and visit her, bring her the sacraments. And when she died, he wept very bitterly for her, very intensely for over the death of his mother. His father, Orazio Forgione, died on October 7th, 1946. Again, living there at the home of Mary Pyle, she cared for the elderly parents of Padre Pio, and he was always very grateful for that. The war years broke out there in Italy, and it was a very, very difficult time for all. As I mentioned, as we know from history, Italy became identified and allied with Nazi Germany. An unfortunate thing, and the Nazis were, soldiers were in throughout Italy, and great amount of fighting when the Allies came through Italy, great amount of fighting took place there. However, as I mentioned, God uses all things, and even war, God can draw some good out of it. And you know, many American soldiers and others from other countries came to know of Padre Pio because they were involved as part of the army advancing through Italy. I knew a priest, Father Leo Fanning, who got his vocation by meeting Padre Pio. He was a soldier at the time, and he and a few other fellow American soldiers would go to the friary there in San Giovanni Rotondo and talk to Padre Pio, and he told a number of them about their vocations. The way I remember the story of Father Leo, when he was introduced to Padre Pio, they said to him, "Padre Pio, this is Mr. Leo Fanning," and he said, "No, that's not his name." And they said to Padre Pio, "But Padre Pio, his name is Mr. Leo Fanning." And he said, "No, that's not his name." And they said to him, "What is his name?" And Padre Pio said, "His name is Father." And so he told them that he had a vocation as a priest. And I know there were many others who entered religious life, the priesthood, because of Padre Pio. Sometimes they had another vocation. One person who thought they were going to be a priest, Padre Pio says, "No, you're not going to be a priest. When you get back to America," he was a soldier, "when you're getting off the ship, you know, in the United States, you're going to bump into your future wife." And this
soldier literally coming off the gangway when he got down there with his big satchel there, where the soldiers carry all their things. And as he was walking, he turned to take it off his shoulders. He bumped into a woman, and that's the woman he married. So Padre Pio could tell people things about their lives. The people there in southern Italy often came to Padre Pio seeking his prayers and intercession. And there are many stories where the people asked Padre Pio to pray to God to protect their villages, protect their lives from war, from bombing, and so on. And, you know, it's an unfortunate practice, but many times when some of the planes, the Allied planes, would have extra bombs after going on their bombing mission, they would release them over different villages where they thought there might be enemy soldiers. And sometimes the people in the villages that had asked Padre Pio to pray for them, when the American bombers went over the villages and they tried to release the bomb bay wouldn't open. They couldn't drop their bombs. On one very noted occasion, there was one particular village which was being an object of a tremendous Allied bombing. Several planes were heading toward this town to bomb it, and the commander in charge, and the lead bomber, saw this huge figure of a friar in the sky. Didn't know what it was, but he turned all the planes around. He told them to go back, and he must have had a hard time, I imagine, explaining to his commanding officers that he saw this figure of a huge person in the sky. Didn't know who it was. And a few days later, he was in a church in southern Italy, and he saw a picture of Padre Pio on the wall. And he said, "Who is that?" And they said, "That's Padre Pio." And he said, "Well, that's the face of the man, the figure I saw in the sky." So Padre Pio was there defending that little village. Interestingly, Padre Pio made the remark that he said Nazism was far worse than communism. Not that communism was good, but he said communism glorified material things. Nazism glorified a race. And he said, that's always far worse. You know, so Padre Pio had a great understanding of how evil Nazism was. One of the things that happened in this period of time was Padre Pio's concern for the sick and the suffering. He wanted a house to be built, a place, a hospital, where the sick could come and receive treatment free of charge, especially for the very poor. And so in 1940, Padre Pio expressed his desire to build a big hospital near the friary. He called it the Casa Sollievo della Sofferenza, which meant the house for the relief of suffering. And this house was inaugurated, or they began the plans, May 5th, 1947. And then on May 19th, 1947, they began the actual construction, leveling the ground to build the foundation of the hospital. It was completed and opened on May 5th, 1956. But there's one interesting little story that goes along with this. There was a man, a doctor from Bologna, northern Italy. His name was Dr. Sanguinetti. And Dr. Sanguinetti and his wife were celebrating their 25th wedding anniversary. And the doctor said to his wife, he said, "I'll give you anything you want for as a wedding anniversary present." And she said, "Well, there's only one thing I want, and that is that you come down to San Giovanni Rotondo with me and see Padre Pio." He said, "I'll give you anything else but that." She says, "Well, you told me I can have anything I want, and that's all I want." So he reluctantly agreed. And he went down to see Padre Pio, and when Padre Pio saw this man, who wasn't a practicing Catholic by any means, he said to him, "Doctor, what's taking you so long to get here? I've been waiting for you." And the man was, you know, surprised. He said, "What are you waiting for?" He said, "I've been waiting for you. You're the doctor who's going to build my hospital." And the man was so touched, he went to confession, changed his whole life. And one little interesting part of this story is that Dr. Sanguinetti told Padre Pio, he says, "Padre Pio, it's going to take me a while before I can come down here because I have many debts to pay before I can leave Bologna and come here." Padre Pio told him, "Buy a lottery ticket and you'll pay all your debts." Sure enough, when he got back to Bologna, he bought a lottery ticket, won the lottery, and paid all his debts. We're going to come back and talk a little bit more about the later part of Padre Pio's life.
Padre Pio has been a wonderful example to me of great holiness and humility, and that to become holy does not mean that you become inhuman. We are not angels. We have feelings. we have emotions, and it's a perfect example of how we're to be Christ-like, and how Christ was truly human, and that he did suffer everything that we could possibly suffer.
Padre Pio is a very extraordinary man for me. I have, being a non-Catholic, I learned of Padre Pio about 2 years ago, and I just absolutely fell in love with him. He is a wonderful example, and I have never read of anybody other than Jesus Christ that has influenced so many people, living and dying.
Welcome back to our series on Padre Pio, the priest who bore the wounds of Christ. As we see in our triptych, reminded that, like St. Francis, Padre Pio had received the five wounds, the stigmata, and he became the object of great love and devotion by many, many followers. One of the great joys Padre Pio had toward the end of his life was the formation of what we call today the Padre Pio prayer groups. It was around 1941 that Padre Pio expressed his desire to begin a movement of lay prayer groups throughout the world. And what he wanted was to have these prayer groups grow in size and number, and they certainly did. And they received indirect approval of church authorities on July 31st, 1968, shortly before he died. In fact, 2 days before he died, there was an international meeting of the prayer groups there, at San Giovanni Rotondo, in order to discuss the meaning of the prayer groups and so on. It was only 2 days before Padre Pio died, and so they were there, many of them from all over the world, to celebrate or to join in the funeral of Padre Pio. Pope Pius XII in 1957 had also appointed Padre Pio director of the fraternity of the Franciscan Tertiary Third Order. Padre Pio always had a great love for his Franciscan vocation, and that was very, very important. Later on, they were to build a great church in 1956. They laid the cornerstone for the great big new church there in San Giovanni Rotondo, the Church of Our Lady of Graces, which could hold about 1,000 people. Now they have a church, they're building, finishing the building of a church to hold 20,000 people, the enormous crowds that will come to venerate Padre Pio. One of the important events that happened in the life of Padre Pio in 1959 in the summer is that he became quite ill. He was confined to his room. And at that time, the Pilgrim Virgin statue of Our Lady of Fatima was visiting throughout Italy. And it was taken by helicopter to the friary at San Giovanni Rotondo. Padre Pio was so sick up in his room that he barely had enough strength to go downstairs and venerate the statue of Our Lady of Fatima. He was very dedicated to Our Lady of Fatima. And then he went back to his room, and when they were ready to take the Pilgrim Virgin away, Padre Pio went over to the window of his room, opened the shutters, and as if to speak to Our Lady, whose statue was there in the helicopter going away, he said, "My Lady, you've been in Italy for about a month, and you're going away. Are you going to leave me here sick?" And the pilot of the helicopter testified afterwards that he lost control of the helicopter. The helicopter by itself started to turn back toward the friary, and Padre Pio saw the statue of Our Lady, and when the helicopter left, Padre Pio was healed. He was cured by Our Lady, Blessed Virgin Mary. I should point out that in 1960, one last trial to Padre Pio occurred. And that was a visitation ordered by Pope John the 23rd. A Monsignor Macari was sent from the Vatican to investigate the Padre Pio himself and to some of the charges being made against him and against some of the claims of fanaticism that were happening there at the monastery. There were some difficulties, but Padre Pio himself was certainly beyond any responsibility for these things. In fact, he
totally disliked, could not stand when people became fanatical and extremely emotional, overly emotional, and the like. And so, as a result of this apostolic visitation, many new restrictions were put on to Padre Pio. And in fact, he couldn't talk to a lot of his spiritual children. There were only times that he could meet with the lay who were very, very restricted. And this was to last until Pope Paul VI became the Holy Father. One of the first things Pope Paul VI did was he changed that whole situation and lifted the restrictions that had been put on Padre Pio. As he said, he wanted Padre Pio to be able to fulfill his apostolic work freely. And so Padre Pio suffered those restrictions there, but he accepted always, as he had done with earlier restrictions when he went through various trials, similar trials, he accepted the will of God patiently and trustingly. I should point out that I remember, I have not seen it in the books of the lives of Padre Pio, but I remember back around that time reading an article that Padre Pio himself, personally, was blamed for a lot of the fanaticism around him, which, as I said, he disliked terribly. So much so that he was told that on Easter Sunday, he could neither say Mass nor receive Holy Communion. He was blamed for the fanaticism. And I understand he nearly died from his desire for the Eucharist. Could you imagine on Easter Sunday not being allowed to say Mass or receive Holy Communion? Padre Pio later on inspired the building of the Via Crucis, Way of the Cross, a beautiful Way of the Cross, right across the street from the Friary of Our Lady of Graces, there in San Giovanni Rotondo. Well, he was getting old, and about a month or so before he died, one of the last things he did of great note was to write a letter to Pope Paul VI, thanking His Holiness for his encyclical letter Humani Vitae. As we know, that was a letter in which Pope Paul VI restated the Church's condemnation, traditional condemnation of artificial contraception, saying that if that is accepted, then it opens the way to abortion, euthanasia, assisted suicide, and the like. People back then said, no, those things would never happen. We sadly know today that they have happened. But Padre Pio supported the Holy Father. He thanked him for his courage in writing Humani Vitae and said, someday the whole world will know how right you were. Well, in the month of March of 1968, the last year of Padre Pio's life, he became weary in strength, somewhat disheartened by some problems and difficulties. So much so that he began to use a wheelchair. He was sitting at the altar when offering Mass. He could not stand. The pain was so great. But he was still putting about 2 hours a day into the hearing of confessions. And finally, very close to the time of his death, on September the 20th, 1968, Padre Pio solemnly celebrated 50 years of having received the visible stigmata. Remember, he had received Padre Pio received those wounds on September 20th, 1918. So 50 years later, he celebrated that day. The next day, he held that international meeting with his prayer groups. The day after that, September 22nd, 1968, he celebrated his last Mass. And as he was leaving the altar, Padre Pio slipped and fell, and some of the friars around him caught him and helped him up. And then finally on September the 23rd, at 2:30 in the morning, Padre Pio died. His superior testified that just before he died, Padre Pio was constantly asking, what time is it, what time is it? As if he had an appointment. He knew that his time was near. In fact, he had predicted that when his tomb that was being prepared would be finished in the crypt of the new church, that's when he would die. And only hours after the crypt was completed, Padre Pio gave his soul back to Jesus Christ. On his lips were the names of Jesus and Mary. And so a great man had gone home to God. Padre Pio surrendered his soul, And I'm sure that the reception he received in the kingdom of heaven was beyond belief. What a great saint. A man who had the courage to live out the meaning of the gospel, who was a companion of Jesus in his suffering and humiliation on the cross, and now shares the glory of Jesus forever in the kingdom of heaven. And he promised, he made one promise before he died. He asked the Lord that he be given the grace that he would be able to wait at the gates of the kingdom of heaven until all of his spiritual children had entered into heaven. So the church now honors Padre Pio. We look to him as one whose life can guide us in the growth and holiness, and whose prayers will certainly assist us on our journey to eternal life. He was the priest who bore the wounds of Jesus Christ. God love you.